Hello, I'm Dave Hughes. Welcome to Lifestyles of the Happily Retired, a series of interviews with people who are reinventing themselves and living happy, fulfilling, and interesting lives during retirement, or as I prefer to call it, Renaissance. These podcasts are just a part of the retirement lifestyle planning information you can find on retirefabulously.com that will show you how to envision, plan for, and enjoy the best retirement possible. Welcome to the Lifestyles of the Happily Retired podcast, and today my guest is Elizabeth Boatman. Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. This is very exciting.
Excellent. And thank you for taking the time out of your day to be my guest. And to start, please give us a high-level overview of your career prior to when you retired.
Well, for 40 years, I worked in banking, mostly in the accounting area, doing financial planning, regulatory reporting, that kind of stuff. But I also had about 10 years or so that I was doing item processing, just making certain that those checks cleared and those electronic transactions went through. But the last, 10 or 15 years in the banking industry have been rather shaky. I'm sure everyone has noticed that. And I went through a series of layoffs. I think altogether there were four of them. I mean, different reasons. First, after 25 years, my bank was sold because that was the period of mergers and acquisitions. And then from then on, it was just banks kind of going out of business, banks failing, banks being acquired. And I got tired of that. And so after the last one, I thought, I've had it. I'm going to retire.
So, and by the way, where do you live?
Oh, I live near Los Angeles, Southern California.
And have you lived there throughout your career?
Well, most of my adult life. I moved out here after college, went to school at the University of Michigan.
In the emails that we exchanged prior to this interview, you mentioned that you've taken up some old hobbies and interests. What are they?
Well, now that I'm retired, I have time to travel. But more importantly, I have time to work on things that I was kind of interested in, but didn't really know a lot about. And the main one is photography. I purchased my first digital camera about 4 years ago. Since that time, I've been learning how to use it, how to do better photographs, you know, and I'm getting there. I'm kind of pleased with how things are developing. That was a pun, by the way.
Oh, yes. So that's a pun that's kind of getting lost in this digital photography age, isn't it?
It is. Now I've managed to couple the photography with the travel. And so that's a very good marriage.
Right. Now, you have a website that you've started called neighborhoodtravels.com. And I spent some time looking around at the photography on there. And I can attest that I think you have mastered your craft, or at least you have a very good start on it. I mean, photography, like music and like many other things, is something you never totally master. You always can get better and better. But you have certainly created some magnificent photography already.
Oh, thank you so much. You just don't know what that means. But yes, you're right. It's constant practice, and you're always second guessing and saying, oh, it's just not good enough, and that's not really what I wanted. But you keep at it, and you just keep growing. And, you know, it's not good to compare your work with that of master photographers. You compare your work with what you did 4 years ago. And then you can really see the difference.
Mm-hmm. So had photography been an interest of yours earlier in your life, with film cameras and that sort of thing, or is this something new?
No, I did have film cameras. But, you know, maybe because I was so busy with work and commuting and everything, I just didn't take the time to try to figure out what all those buttons were for. I would shoot on automatic and hope for the best. And with film cameras, it was always sort of hope for the best because you couldn't just look at the back and say, oh, I got it, or oh, I didn't. And I just didn't understand all that technical stuff about depth of field and aperture and all of that. I thought, I don't have time for that. Just put it on auto and I'm going to just go out and do it. But now, Now I do have time, and I have spent time trying to figure out all that technical stuff. And it isn't as overwhelming as I first thought. And believe it or not, I find shooting in manual mode easy and comfortable, and I kind of prefer it.
Yeah, so tell us a little more about your website, neighborhoodtravels.com.
I started it basically, well, the main reason I'm doing it is for fun. I enjoy travel, I enjoy photography, and I enjoy talking about what I'm doing and telling stories. And so, what I hope to achieve is to inspire someone else, my readers, to realize that they don't have to spend a lot of money or go to exotic places to have that travel experience. They can just go down the street or visit some museum that's close by, but it doesn't have to be extravagant. You can travel to things right within your neighborhood and have a really exciting time and see something that will delight, surprise, satisfy your curiosity. So that's what I'm trying to get at. It isn't, the stories aren't long. They're not profound. I don't go into a lot of technical stuff about how to shoot this or, what f-stop I used. It's really just about the experience of going to this place and the fun that I had when I was there.
Now, you live in a suburb of Los Angeles, and I'm sure to many of us, I mean, I've been to Los Angeles quite a few times, others maybe not so much. I'm sure many people envision Los Angeles as giant suburbia, huge metropolis with Disneyland and Universal Studios and beaches. But there's probably a lot more to it, or within a 1 or 2 hour drive, right?
Yes, well, it is a giant metropolis and it is a giant suburbia, and it's a lot of concrete and a lot of freeways. But there are a lot of different places. I mean, I'm trying to discover those tiny places, those overlooked places. We do have California missions that are near here. Let's see, San Juan isn't too far down the road from Los Angeles, San Juan Capistrano. The Swallows came back last month. We have a mission in the Los Angeles area, the San Gabriel Mission. Santa Barbara is just up the road. So there are missions, there are tiny parks, there are gardens. We have some wonderful gardens, the Huntington Gardens and Library, the Los Angeles Arboretum. So there's places other than Disneyland and Universal Studios.
Again, looking over some of your recent posts on your website, you visited Solvang. Did I
Yes.
pronounce that right?
That's out of town a ways. But it's a Danish village, little town. It's got windmills and wonderful bakeries. It's just terrific. It's dog friendly. Now I have a dog, an Australian Shepherd, and so I took him with me. They put out bowls of water for him and everything. It's very friendly for dogs if anybody is traveling with a dog.
So then, do you normally travel alone or perhaps with your dog, or sometimes do you bring friends along?
A little of both. I don't always take the dog. First of all, if it's Southern California, it can be very hot. And I don't think it's fair to take the dog out and leave him in the car in hot weather. So it's got to be wintertime or something if I take the dog. Otherwise, he has to go to, the pet hotel. I often travel with my adult daughter if I'm going to go somewhere overnight or a long trip, because she also has the travel bug. I also travel sometimes with friends. But for the tiny day trips, like down to San Juan or off to a beach or something, I'll do that by myself. Exploring the Autry Museum or something, I go by myself.
Yeah. What are 1 or 2 of your most memorable adventures?
One of my more recent ones was with my daughter. We went for a long weekend to Death Valley. Now, I think of myself as a forest and stream kind of person, make it green with blue sky and lots of water. So I went to Death Valley, which is not my kind of place, but I was so surprised. Death Valley is one of the most spectacular places I've ever been. It's a huge national park. It's got the most amazing geology. You can be like 300 feet below sea level or 5,000 feet above sea level. It's empty. There aren't many people, but it's magnificent. I can't wait to go back. It's just astounding. It's also, I mean, there's no cell service. There's very little internet connectivity. There aren't any towns or services. It's one of the few places I thought if I get lost or wander off the main road, I could actually die out here. A rather compelling place, but I do want to make another trip and I would like to get off that main road.
I think it's great to get out and see things that are just within a couple hours' drive from your home, and it's something so few of us do. Now, I have lived in the Phoenix, Arizona area for over 20 years now, and there's a young fellow that I met in the last year or two before I retired from my job, and he belongs to some club of millennial professionals, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They go somewhere every weekend. You know, all over Arizona, occasionally into California. And I thought, wait a minute, this guy has seen more of Arizona in a year or two than I have in living here 20 years. And even worse, I have friends who have lived in Phoenix all their life who have never seen the Grand Canyon. And I think that's just a crime. But, you know, we get settled in our areas and we don't really take the time, you know, prior to living here. I lived near Washington, D.C., and oftentimes the only time I made it down to the monuments, museums, and memorials was when I had guests from out of town and I was playing tour guide. You know, I think it's great that you're making a mindful, you know, systematic approach to get out and discover what's within a couple hours of where you live. I mean, so many people think about traveling to Europe and to South America and Asia and all that stuff, and that's great, but, you know, it can be expensive and a lot more time consuming, and you can have exciting travel right where you live, and that's what I really like about your story.
That's it in a nutshell, because it's true. I don't do any of these things unless I have somebody coming to visit, and so I decided that's crazy. I can do it. Mm-hmm. I could just go do it. And so California is full of national parks. I started looking it up on the internet, and they're all over the place. National parks, national monuments, national seashores. And I got the senior pass, the America the Beautiful pass, and it's $10 to get one, and it's good for the rest of my life. So I can go into any park, anywhere.
That is
it's terrific.
Truly, yeah, that is truly one of the greatest deals out there. I mean, if you're 62
really?
Or over, mm-hmm. $10 lifetime admission to every national park and national forest and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic deal.
Yes. So when I think one of my stories was in the San Bernardino forest, you know, I was researching it and said, well, you need to pay $5 for parking. And I thought, no, I don't. I have a pass yeah. I can put in my window. This is the National Forest.
Wow, excellent.
Yeah.
So here's a question, and admittedly, it's a little bit of a leading question to the next topic I wanted to discuss. So is this the retirement you have planned on? And if not, why not?
This is a tough question. You wouldn't even think so. When I was working, I planned to retire with my husband. But he died a year before I retired. So that plan sort of, well, that just didn't come to pass. So I then had to come up with another plan. I could just have stopped and said, oh, woe is me, poor me, what am I going to do now? But that just didn't seem to be the answer for me. Mm-hmm. I decided I'm responsible for the rest of my life, and I'm going to make a choice to go forward. And so in some ways, this isn't the retirement I planned, but in other ways, the idea of traveling and that sort of thing, yeah, that was sort of on the horizon. I just didn't think that it would be kind of solo. That's all.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm very sorry for your loss. And
thank you.
I remember early in my working career, many of my friends from high school and college and everything had parents who were approaching retirement. And in many cases, you know, one of them would pass away either shortly after they retired or even just before. And I always thought, you know, what a shame that is. You know, you build a life together with somebody. But, you know, I really love your approach and your spirit. And that is, you know, well, okay, life changed in a way I didn't expect to, but I'm going to change with it. I'm going to make some new plans, some new dreams, and set off on some new adventures. And it seems like that's going extremely well for you.
Yes, it is. I couldn't stand still and not go forward. I started planning, what could I do? Now, there have been hard, tough spots. There are things that I had no clue what to do in the house. I don't know anything about plumbing. I didn't know anything about my computer. I didn't know anything. I still run up against things I don't know anything about. But I learned to either figure it out or to delegate it to somebody. I think some of the toughest things about living a single life are food. Mm-hmm. It's no fun eating alone, having dinner alone. And I never like to cook much anyway. I don't go out a whole lot, but I manage to feed myself, and food is just fuel anyway. And while I'm doing, while I'm preparing my meager meal, I'm planning what I'm going to do the next day, or getting ready for the next big adventure, or thinking about how I'm going to edit my photos, or what am I going to say in my next blog post? Because I have all these other things going, I'm extremely busy. I really don't have time to just sit still and say, oh, woe is me.
Yeah, I have found after I've retired, I seem to be as busy or busier than I was when I was working. In fact, just yesterday I had a particularly busy day and I thought, how do I ever have time to work? You know,
it's weird. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I can't keep up.
Yeah. So how often do you take one of your little day trips or maybe overnight trips?
I do a little trip, at least two or three of them a week, because I'm trying to write a little story at least two a week. So I've got to keep moving. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I may run out of material.
And, one nice thing about visiting these places is there's probably, a charming little cafe or a restaurant that's otherwise indigenous to the little town you're visiting. So it's probably fun to include having a meal there as part of your discovery of some new place.
I love going to places that aren't part of chains. And even when I shop locally, I try to go to the small places, the local places. It's just friendlier.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Is there any advice that you would like to offer to newly single retirees?
Don't stand still. What I did was I started searching for joy in my life. I didn't sit around waiting for everything to be perfect before I ventured forth. There isn't time to wait for perfection. I just said, okay, I may not do everything right, and I may look a little goofy, but I'm just going to go do something. I stayed connected with people. I know more neighbors now in my immediate vicinity than I ever did when I was working, because I wasn't here then. I was either at work or on the road commuting. So connect with people. I felt I was responsible for the quality of my life going forward. Because of that, I chose to get out and do things. I go out, I walk, I see something. I know that my body isn't the greatest. I have, all those little aches and pains that come as you get older, but I'm okay with that. And every day I write a gratitude journal. Every day I find something that I'm grateful for. And there's a lot to be grateful for. So I would say, don't worry about perfection. Just get out. Enjoy life. It's there. It's just waiting for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you wait for everything to be perfect and everything to be right, and you wait till you're fully prepared and all the stars align, you're going to have a long wait, aren't you?
Oh, you're going to have a very long wait, and you probably will be pretty disappointed.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. And once again, that website is neighborhoodtravels.com. So I encourage everybody who's listening to click on over and check it out. And you can subscribe if you'd like to receive updates. And Elizabeth, I really want to thank you for joining me today on the podcast and sharing your adventures and sharing your experience. And you've offered some extremely good advice to people as well. So thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Indeed it has. Thank you for listening to Lifestyles of the Happily Retired. Please visit retirefabulously.com to hear more interviews and discover the wealth of retirement lifestyle planning information that awaits you on the website. While you are there, don't forget to subscribe to receive weekly updates about new podcasts and articles. If you or someone you know has an interesting story to share and would like to be interviewed in an upcoming podcast, please send an email to dave@retirefabulously.com. Until next time, this is Dave Hughes. Goodbye for now.